You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Hello, hello, hello. This is Elizabeth Powell, and this time I'm in the Grand Caymans.
Still jealous every time. Every time, every week, it's a new destination.
That's right. The dream.
It's where I want to be. It's where I need to be, but at least I'm there in spirit, right?
Yes, definitely. And who are you? No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know. I'm nobody now. If you guys didn't know, I've changed my name officially to nobody.
No,
I don't exist. No, I'm Joseph Grassa. Welcome everybody to this week's episode of Tech Trend Investments.
Yay. Hi, everyone. Oh, and I want to do a shout out to the wonderful people that were in my shuttle in Miami. For all of you that were in there, and we were talking about travel. Hi, y'all. A shout out to all of you. That was a fun shuttle ride.
Everywhere. The classic. You find people everywhere and you make friends.
Yeah, they were awesome. So hopefully they got some good pointers and some good tips and they'll continue to travel.
I know I got to travel. I don't know about needing to travel. A lot of people are traveling right now, though, which is good.
Right.
I think it's right now is the perfect time to travel. Perfect time. Nothing is going on. Everyone's off work. If you have the chance, you just want to get out. You want to travel. Explore.
Right. It's summertime. I don't even know what the weather's like at home right now. I've been gone, so I'm hearing like heat waves and rain, and I've just been a constant 85 to 87 balmy weather.
Wow. Yeah, it's 74 for me, so it's I can handle 74. 74 is manageable. Yeah. It peaked up to 82 today, so that was very nice. Although the sun and I don't tend to meet and get to see each other too often because of work, but it was nice out for the few, I guess, minutes, hours I was out there.
Yeah. Well, at least it stopped raining. That's good news.
Yeah, Toronto was flooded this morning. I think it was all over the news. Super, super bad flood. Streets were flooded.
Oh, no.
The parking garages were flooded. All the undergrounds were flooded. So hope everyone's okay in Toronto. But I gladly missed it a little bit north of there. So didn't catch any of that bad weather.
So I wonder if the Beryl storm finally caught up to you guys.
That's what I was thinking, but I don't think it was directly Beryl. I think it was just a combination of maybe like the after effects or like just a storm that rolled in, plus maybe a few like the clouds from there, because we were in the outlier clouds. It wasn't the forecast that we were going to get some. So could be a combination of the two. Could be just barreling through Toronto as well. it's been a running joke.
Yeah. So on my start of this whole entire journey, well, one of the parts of the start of the journey, it started in Miami and was on my way to Aruba. And when I was flying into Trinidad, they announced that the Hurricane Beryl was coming in, and that was the end of June. So I was supposed to be in Barbados, and I ended up getting stuck in Trinidad for an extra 5 days because there were no flights out and flights going back. If I ended up cutting my trip short, flights going back, I would have been in the path of Beryl because it was going up the Caribbean. And so I finally got to go to, Barbados on the 4th of July. So, but what was great about it is the resort was awesome. I was supposed to come in on that Saturday, but I was delayed 4 or 5 days because of the hurricane. And what they did is they just started my start time from the day I arrived and then gave me my 7 days full, which was awesome. And that's kind of unheard of, right? Like usually
when your flight lands, you lose all those days.
Yeah. And so I would have had my trip cut short and only gone there for 2 days, but they gave me the full 7, which was awesome for one. And then I extended it 2 more days because I couldn't get any other flights out because they have limited flights flying out of the island. So I finally flew out of the island. But when I did, I now in the Grand Caymans, but to go to the Grand Caymans, it's funny, you can't just island hop from like island to island because each of the islands are all their own individual countries. So I had to fly back to Miami and then from Miami come into the Grand Caymans. And my layover was in Puerto Rico this time. They had all hit, like the hurricane had gone down the islands and hit Grenada and Puerto Rico and all those other islands. And it also, they said it came into the Caymans a little bit too, but I flew, by the time I flew in, it had already passed through and went into the Yucatan and then up Mexico into Texas and then over into the States. So I've been like missing the hurricane and then the flight path going backwards, but I missed it all, which has been wonderful. And everybody has been like amazing and upbeat and just happy to be on vacation and happy to be safe. And like, there's been so many wonderful people along the way. And like people, like I met in the shuttle, everyone was traveling. Or like here in the Grand Caymans, there was a gentleman that's like on the property and he's just super sweet and helped me carry my luggage up. And the lady at the rental car place was just super sweet and upgraded me just because, and she gave me the best car that was on the lot, one that she would have chosen. And the taxi driver on my way back from the airport on Trinidad back into going into Barbados, like stopped at his favorite food place that he always goes to, his food truck, and bought me one of the double doubles just so I could taste the flavor of their foods. So like everybody's been amazing on this trip. The only thing that has been a hindrance has been the weather and having flight delays.
The delays. No one likes a flight delay. I feel like if your flight's delayed, your mood goes down just a little bit because it's like, I have to sit in the airport for another like hour or two. Or sometimes you get lucky and it's like a 30-minute delay.
Right.
But I don't know. Airports and delays are not my favorite place to be.
Yeah. I think the most expensive day on travel has always been the flight day because you end up having to get airport food and you're kind of stuck. And so, and then the cost of getting to and from the airport. And so those are like the most expensive and then everything else is chill.
I think the airport food is way too overpriced. I don't know what they're doing, but can they just go to like the duty free pricing where it's like super cheap and no taxes? That's my favorite. Go to the duty free while you're in the airport, get your chocolates or whatever, and then some liqueur, some booze while you're in there, if you're of age, of course. And then just chilling, but obviously you can't have it while you're there. But
you know, sometimes it's fun though, because then they have the local foods in the airport where you might have missed it and you get to try out some of the local foods depending on where you're flying in and out of. Like when I went, I had a layover in Puerto Rico, and so I was able to get coffee from Puerto Rico and some of their fun candies that I probably wouldn't have because I wasn't actually in Puerto Rico, but I got to get some of their fun stuff in the airport.
Jealous, as always.
So the coffee is really strong, just so y'all know. But I like strong coffee. It's very, very strong.
Strong coffee is the best because it just wakes you up right away. It's like, oh, I've had it. I'm awake.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's been coffee. Fun. It's been an adventure.
And that coffee doesn't put you to sleep, right?
No. Definitely, I can feel it after like two cups of coffee. But it's been fun. Yeah, and so on these travel schedules too, I'm still working crazy hours and waking up at like 5 a.m., 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, even though the time keeps changing on me. And I'm from California. I'm now, it seems like, on this Eastern Standard Time zone. So this morning I woke up at 5 a.m., which is crazy, but it was good because then I got to do all my tech work and talk to all the holders and call plays and do this the fun stuff that we normally do. But even on the time zones and the change, like the work schedule stays the same. The only difference is if I'm in the air and on internet and having to work that way. But work never changes. Work is constant. And the travel part is just the perk to see beautiful places while you're working, right?
It's just the bonus. You get to travel and work. Could do the same, but it's something right now. I don't know. I can't seem to get away from the craziness that's at home. honestly, I do need to get away. Trips are amazing. Highly recommend it. I usually do one or two a year. And Elizabeth does, I guess, a lot. I'll just say a lot more than me.
Yeah, but I've had smoking deals, though. So I had Miami to Bahamas, 100 business class. And then I had Miami to Barbados. I ended up having to use a different air carrier because I went too early. So I went Miami to Barbados, and I think it ended up costing me $125. And then I got the week in Barbados for $250. And then since I was late, they still just extended in honor of the price. And normally it would cost me $200 a night, which was amazing. So I got the whole entire 7 days for $250. And then now I'm in the Grand Caymans, and I originally was deciding where to go, but I got a smoking deal out here too. So I have a one bedroom overlooking the pool, steps to the beach, and it's a full resort. They have so many activities and different things going on. And I got it for $350 a week. So it's the whole entire week for $350 in a one bedroom with a full kitchen in a resort, which is amazing too. And then the flights here were a little, let's see, the flight back was, I changed my flight, so it was like $150 on business class. And then I flew back from Miami to here, and it was only $125.
That's not bad. Super cheap. I think one question that I've always wondered is, you've traveled and you've been on so many flights and so many airliners up to this point. What airliners do you think have the best deals, or like they're the cheapest ones to fly with, like the best quality? So I've been on so many at this point.
So building out the travel bot, it finds the lowest air everywhere. So we have a travel bot, which will be released to the public pretty soon. But this is what I found out on travel because of creating the algorithm and finding the lowest prices, is that airlines rotate their prices. So one airline may have it priced low on, if you looked on it today, and then they'll sell out, and then another airline will replace it and have like the same similar price. But if you're looking tomorrow, the other airline had sold out, and then the new airline steps up and has a similar price, and then they sell out, and then another airline steps up and then they sell out. And then the closer you get to the time that it's taking off, if the airline hasn't filled, they'll reduce all the prices so that you can get on cheap, because they need to fill the airline. But if it's completely full, then the prices go up. So you can find really great deals a month out, and sometimes you can find really great deals 24 hours out, because if they haven't filled up the plane and it's not peak and it's not full, they'll drop the prices just to fill up the plane. So you can get some really, really like great getaways and overnighters, or just
last minute, just get out.
Right. And you can find them really cheap. But the best thing about the bot that we built out, the AI bot that we built out, is it searches all over the world. It searches up to 13 months out. It searches all destinations, all locations, and all starting points, and all airlines except for maybe one or two. And then you can find just random ones. So you can say, I'm going to search from Miami to anywhere, and it'll give you the lowest flight from Miami to anywhere on a specific day. Or, there goes my voice. Or you can search like Miami to a destination, and then it'll tell you each month what the cheapest price is on that destination. So you can go August, September, October, and like look at all the prices for the whole entire month. And it'll show all the airlines and the lowest price on that too. So you can just pick a random one.
So it's not specifically the airliners or specifically like, well, any, it's not really anything specific. It's just when you're booking what, I guess where you're going, if the flight's booked, if it's not, if you're going last minute, it's going to look and it's going to find the best possible flight based off of hundreds of airliners. I don't even know if there's hundreds of airliners out there,
thousands.
But all the ones, thousands of airliners. It's going to look through all of them. Okay, which ones are leaving? Which one's almost full? And that one's obviously going to be the best price. And oh, it's leaving soon. It's almost full. It hasn't been sold out. Okay, you get on that one. That's going to be like the cheapest.
But I remember before we always said booking Tuesdays. So yeah, well, I guess Tuesdays. Midweek is the best time to book.
Tuesday, so today's a good one.
Today's a great one.
Today's a great day to look for travel because the holiday is past. It's the middle of the week. It's on a Tuesday, and they usually lower the prices today. And then, yeah, today's the best day to search. And it's middle of the month. People have money.
It's not a Friday. It's not a Friday, that's for sure. No, Friday's probably one of the worst days to book. Fridays and weekends.
Yeah, holidays and weekends are when they raise their prices. So it's always best to like search on a Tuesday and then find. And then the other thing too is like if you're going into a destination that's very popular, like if you're going into Orlando or you're going into London or Las Vegas or Los Angeles, they have a lot of flights coming in and going out from all over the world because that's their major hub. So you're going to find the lowest prices going out of there into another major hub. And then from there, you can hop to where you're going. So like if you're going out of LA, you can go like LA to London and find a flight for $150. But if you try to do Santa Ana to London, because it's like one of the sub Orange County airports, it's going to cost you probably $2,000 because it has to take a couple paths to get there. And it's not a normal flight that they do. The major hubs where they fly out the most from and they have the most flights, they're going to be the lowest price. And then also when you're flying in, you want to fly into like a major city also because that's where the most of flights come in. Like Las Vegas is a major city. London's a major city. Again, Los Angeles, Orlando's a major city. Chicago's a major city, New York. And that's because most people are going in and out of there. But the other thing, too, is the hotels are the most expensive in those major cities, which is kind of funny because they know that the people are flying in and they need a place to stay usually on a layover or they're going to come in for a couple of days before they fly back out again. And those are the most expensive hotels, but they're the cheapest flights.
It makes sense. A lot of people are going in and out. They need places to stay, whether it be a work trip or you're going there for the day, a day trip. A lot of people go to like New York, especially from Canada. I know being here, a lot of people go to New York just as a day trip just because, yeah, I want to go see New York. I want to experience what the U.S. is like because that's what we assume everywhere is like. And
right.
Although I've been to many places now, I know each state is completely different. It's these major hubs that people like to go to and they're like, oh, I want to go, let's go experience it. They go, I want to go to Cake Boss. I want to see all this fun stuff. I want to go and shop in Cali. And they'll go and they have to pay the highest rates because it's where everybody wants to go. And they know that the people that are making these hotels and they're changing their rates. They're like, yeah, we can charge a lot. We can afford to do that. It's not going to change how many people come in or out.
Right. It's popular. Everybody wants to go. But it's fun. It's been a blast. And then, you know, there's travel hacks on finding the lowest end resorts and travel hacks on timeshares and travel hacks on hotels and different places to stay. But it's been a blast. It's fun, though. Like, the place I'm at right now is a resort. So I've had, like, different types of places I've stayed at. They've been resorts, but different levels of resorts. And so this one has, like, 20 activities a day.
Okay, that's a lot of activities.
It is.
How do you make that pools. Much
time? They have three pools and they have like three restaurants and three bars and then the beach and jet skis, and it's like it's not inclusive, but it has like all the fun things. But like listen to some of these activities. It has fish feeding by the dock, bingo. Okay.
An amazing race
at the pool, cornhole tournament, beer pong, volleyball tournament, happy hour, pickleball. And then they have a buffet, like an island buffet, and late night happy hour, mudslide.
Late night happy hour.
Yeah. Water aerobics. Let's see. Lots of happy hours, it seems like. A beer drinking competition.
Oh, wow.
You know,
big drinkers in the Grand Cayman.
A mini golf tournament.
Oh, so. I'd lose that one. I'm great at golf, but mini golf, no.
Budget ball. Name that tune, flip cup. So I think they're trying to cater to everybody, I guess. But it's kind of
everybody,
funny.
But it seems like a younger audience at the same time with like more of these drinking games. It seems like younger audiences traveling there, and you can kind of gauge.
They have three different pools too. It seems like there's an adult pool and a kid pool and a
teenage pool.
Yeah.
So essentially what that is.
But resorts are fun. I mean, you've been to a couple of resorts. They're fun.
I love resorts. They're fun. There's a lot to do. A lot of people to meet too, although I'd say it's a lot more families rather than individuals or business professionals. They usually go more to the private places.
True.
So it really depends what you're looking for. If you're looking for like a adult only resort and you just want to relax,
candles.
Yeah, don't have to worry about anything. That's where you go.
Right.
If there's places like where you're at, and it's not all inclusive, but there's still a lot to do. You get to choose what you eat every day. You get to go to the grocery store, experience the life a bit more, which is what some people like. I'd say most people want to kind of embrace themselves in that culture a bit more. And then you have the people who will go out, rent a villa, and then get a chef and then
hide away for a week.
Hide away. Just get away from everything.
Sometimes
turn off all their electronics.
Yeah. But the other fun thing too, is so all these islands, pretty much all of the islands, except for the U.S. islands, are left side of the road driving, which means your driver's seat is on the right side and you drive on the left side, which is fun.
It's a learning curve. It's a big learning curve.
So I didn't, the last couple of islands, I didn't need to have a car because everything was pretty close and I could take a taxi or take the local like little taxi buses that they had. You just hop in for like $3 and get to go where you want to go. It's like a group of all the locals and some of the tourists get into these buses and they just go down, like they look like minivans. And then they have those in Aruba too. So they had those in Barbados. And in Trinidad, I didn't need to go that far because I was in the city, so I could just walk everywhere or take a taxi back and forth to the airport. But out here, I'm like over an hour away from the airport, and so the taxis are expensive. I'm like, okay, I'll get a car rental. And I'm driving on the left side of the road, which I've done about probably like three times. I did it in, I think it was St. John. St. John or St. Thomas.
St. John.
Yeah. I was out in the Virgin Islands before, and I was driving on the left side of the road in a Jeep, and you're coming around the mountain. You have to honk when you're coming around the mountain. So it must have been St. Thomas because the people on the other side don't know you're coming. So you have to honk to make sure that they know you're coming around the mountain. Sound like a song. But driving on the left side, and I think it was a manual too. And then you're sitting on the, so you're sitting on the right. You're using your left hand to stick shift. And then you're driving on the left side of the road, coming around the mountain.
Oh, my God.
So the other time I did it was in Ireland, which I don't recommend. Because Ireland, they're crazy drivers. and you're like, the most craziest part in Ireland was in Cork. Like, I kid you not, they drive like race car drivers there. And they don't care. They're just like 100 miles an hour through the town, and like you have to just get out of the way and like make sure you pull over to the side for them because the roads are really slim and it's kind of a game of chicken, whoever pulls over first. I'm gonna scare people driving in Ireland. And then like in Dingle, you're driving up on the high mountain and coming across sheep, and it's like a one way and another car is coming towards you. You have to pull over to let them pass without hitting a sheep. Driving on the left side of the road with a stick sitting on the right hand side. So those have been my three adventures so far, driving on the left side of the road.
Three learning curves. Driving on the left, driving on the left, sitting on the right.
Uh-huh.
And then stick shift. I'm used to my automatic.
Stick this time, thank God. No stick this time. It's automatic, but the other times I had stick, they only had sticks. And then when you're out of the country too, so like our insurance covers us as long as we're in the United States. But once we go out of the United States and your insurance doesn't cover you, you have to get international insurance. So I had to add insurance to all of the ones when I'm out of state. That's another reason that I don't prefer having a rental car. I'd rather do a taxi. But a lot of the islands don't do Ubers at all. So you pretty much have to do a taxi. And a lot of them only want to take cash. So you have to have the local currency in cash or the right amount in US dollars, which is kind of hard. So like I had to do cash in Aruba and cash in Trinidad, but the hotel was wonderful. They let me bill it to the hotel. But out here, having a rental car, you know, you have to have car rental insurance. And even I have travel insurance, and my travel insurance covers $35,000 of car rental. But you always want to have some kind of protection just in case, because as soon as you get in the accident, you want to make sure you have coverage right away. So it's kind of like an overlap of coverage. But yeah,
it's good to have more. It's always good to have more than necessary, just in case.
Knock on wood, I've been good. I haven't been in an accident in like 100 years, but but you never know. But having travel insurance also helped me because I got stuck in the hurricane. So having travel insurance and being delayed 5 days and having to change my flights and being stuck in Trinidad for an extra 5 days, it covers my hotel and my food and my change of flights and getting to my final destination. So that's been wonderful.
And then the travel agencies also helped you and said, oh, you know what, we can get you those flights. I think we talked about this last time, but super helpful from what I remember. You said they helped you, they gave you all those, like the perks, and they made sure you could find the right flight that fit your schedule.
Oh, yeah, it was the travel insurance. They had a concierge service, and so they reached out and they made sure that I was taken care of and that they referred me over to their emergency evacuation team that could find me flights, because I was calling long distance trying to get all this updated because there were no flights at all. They had canceled all the flights because of the hurricane. So like there were no flights going out at all for a while. And then going to Barbados, the earliest flight was on the 4th of July, and then they booked up really fast. And then I got in and got one of the flights, which was amazing, or else I wouldn't have flown until like Saturday and missed completely my whole entire week. But yeah, the travel insurance concierge was wonderful. Yeah, they've been fun.
Love that. I love that. See, now I feel a bit more comfortable just knowing that someone's there, right? They're able to help you and guide you. And it's not like they're there, oh, yeah, we don't want you to use our insurance. Nope, we're not going to help you.
I've had
that happen.
When you had travel insurance?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They don't want you to, like, I guess it was just a bad insurance carrier, and they were just like, you don't have to go here. We're just gonna find you like the cheapest out, like ASAP. I'm like, oh, okay.
You're like, I came in first class, and then you're putting me on a
economy.
Right.
And it's like, okay,
in like a putt airplane that it's a puddle.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was. It was when I was in Italy, and they just threw me on the little putt-putt plane and said, good luck.
That's funny. Maybe it's not funny at the time, but yeah.
No, at the time, it's scary. Getting on those small planes, if you've never been on one before,
right,
the takeoff and the landing is the scariest thing you'll ever experience. Scariest thing.
I had friends that were airline pilots, though, so I flew in the little Cessnas before, so I'm used to that at least.
I was not. And now I'm a bit more comfortable with it, but oh, Lord, is it scary.
Yeah, but they're fun.
They're great.
See, the best thing about travel, though, like, even if you do get stuck or something happens, and I mean, there's always a solution. There's always something to be solved. And sometimes the delays, you know, happen for a reason. Like, even though you want to be at your final destination, sometimes it's good to like step back and enjoy where you're at. So, and then there's always a story. So
always like, a story.
We're going to have like tons and tons and tons of memories on travel. Like that's one thing that people will take. Is their memories from their travel. They'll always remember their travel stories. Like there may be moments in their life that were key, that were very important that they remember, but most people always remember their travel.
And I think I'll always remember my travel. Yeah, it hasn't been a lot, so it's not hard to forget, but.
and then at the end, like the people that most everyone's regret is that they didn't travel enough or spend time with their loved ones. So that's another thing, you know?
Yep. So. Yeah, spending time with your family. And travel is like the best way to do it, in my opinion. Just getting out and experiencing new places. You bond a lot better when you're experiencing new things as a family or with friends. And, and you're able to just connect and share an experience. And you come back home and you're like, well, that was fun. And then you have all these memories and stories to tell to everyone else. And you can, that bond is like forever.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I've been on quite a few with my friends and we have a lot of stories to tell because of it. Like getting stuck in one of the islands and then going with her, one of my other friends, and she wanted to go see all of the lighthouses in Cape Cod. And I'm in flip-flops. Well,
that's a lot. That's a lot.
And I'm like, oh, that lighthouse looks really close. And like, oh, and then you try and Google Maps, it's like 4 miles away. Yeah.
In flip-flops, you said,
in
too.
In flip-flops.
4 feet. 4 feet.
Yeah. 4 miles away. Oops.
It's a running shoe type of activity.
Oh, yeah. But it looks really close. You know, like when you're looking at it, like, oh, yeah, we can hike there. No problem.
When 4 miles up,
4 miles back. Oh, oops.
Oops.
But it's been fun.
So
the other thing I wanted to go over is briefly is we've had a lot of people inquire on how to get into trading coins and how to get into crypto. Like people have been asking a lot and we do it all the time. So we take it for granted. Like it's really easy and simple because we've been doing it over and over again and we just do the stuff and it's fun. Yeah. Right. And so we've been teaching like strategy on how people can trade. And then we've been teaching different segments on how to get involved and get into it. But I wanted to do like a brief recap. I know we talked about travel for half an hour, but I wanted to do it like a brief recap because a lot of people have been coming up to me and people who aren't familiar with crypto or trading meme coins and they want to learn how to do it. And I know it's a lot of overwhelming information. Like I'll send them information, but I know it's very overwhelming. It's a lot of detail. So I'm going to simplify it down into really simple steps so that people can like at least try it, right?
Yeah, just to understand it a bit easier. It can get very complex, but it can be simplified super easily. It's just like five or six steps, but it can probably go a lot longer than that. The more detailed you want to get.
Right. The more advanced you get, the more steps you can take, but just to get involved and to try things out and just to see what it's about, you know, we want to do really, really simple steps. It's like going to the gym. Like the gym can be very complex or it can be very simple. Like you can put on your shoes and show up at the gym. That's your simple step. Or you can have a full workout and go on the treadmill and then go in the sauna and do all this stuff. And that's the complex part of it. But same thing with trading. Like you can do it very, very basic from just a beginner and still get involved and try things out and still invest and still, you know, be involved with it or learn more if it becomes a passion and you're interested in it. And then you can get more detailed on it also. So we have trading bots that help people trade. It gives like analytics and detailed information for people that want to trade. And we're having an automatic trader coming up pretty soon too. And I've had a couple of people also come up to me and say, oh, I've been hearing a lot about it. So what I'm finding out is a lot of people have been copying us. And so we have AI Signal. That's our main one on ETH. And it's been around for over 18 months. And then we have AI Base coming out in about the next 7 days to the public. And that one has been around for about 4 or 5 months now. People have been utilizing it. Holders have been using it. We've been using it. But now it's going to be released to the public too. So it's a tool to help people trade. It gives like predictive modeling on which tokens are going to be the best ones to enter into and then on the best ones to make profit on. And of course, this is all not financial advice, do your own research. It's educational purposes only. We give tools and information to help people, just like if you're going to trade stocks or bonds, you want to get information. And so it's like giving analytics on stocks and what is the best stock to pick and based off of the predictive model and what's going on with the stock that does the same thing with tokens. So when somebody starts, like the best thing to do is when you're going to start in the U.S., we use Coinbase, and I know in other countries they use different things. What's yours again? That your main
Endax.
One?
Endax.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch. There's Endax. There's Kraken, Coinbase. Honestly, too many to keep track of.
So we have a lot of. So we're based out of LA. The talk radio show is based out of LA. So we're primarily states driven United States, but we have a lot of international users, and we also have a lot of international listeners. And then our holders on ASIC and people in crypto are international too. So the main one that you would start with would be that, like your Coinbase or your Kraken or the one that you said. What was it called again?
Endax.
Yes. So you would go there, and those are the ones that usually have to KYC. You have to show your identity on those, and you have to give your social, I believe, on those too.
Yeah.
But that's the first one where you're able to buy crypto, and you can buy small amounts, but it gives you the starting point. And I know that Coinbase also does this thing where they're giving away free different types of altcoins and free different types of tokens by teaching you how to buy tokens or what tokens do. Like, so if it's a utility token, and it'll give you like a little spiel about the utility token, and then it'll give you like a little quiz at the end of each of the segments. And then once you pass the quiz, it'll give you like $2 in free tokens. So Coinbase is trying to teach people how to learn how to trade also, and how to get involved in investing into crypto. So when you go into Coinbase, you're going to submit your information, like your formal name, your social, your address, your pertinent information, because the states does tax you based off of whatever the tax laws are at that time, because the tax laws are always changing. So if you make more than a certain amount, you have a potential to be taxed. And so Coinbase is going to get that information. So that's where you usually is your first starting point. So you'll get into there, and then you can buy Bitcoin, BTC, or you can buy Ethereum, ETH, or you can buy any of the other altcoins, or Sol, Solana, SOL. You can buy any of them with your US dollars, or you can buy it with your credit card, with your bank transfer, or anything else. So you can start investing and having like small amounts of crypto. And what I usually recommend is when you're doing it and you're first starting, is to buy an even number that you can track. So buy like a dollar, or buy $10, or buy $100. So it's like an even number, and then you can see it fluctuate daily. You can see the $100 go to 102, go to 98, go back to 100, go to 103, et cetera. So you can see how it's fluctuating. And then it also gives you charts to show you what the crypto is doing. So like Ethereum has been running up in the last few days. It went from 29.50 and now it's like at 34.50. So went up 500 in the last about 48 hours. I think it's been since Saturday. So maybe it's been 72 hours. It's been going up. It's
been about 72 hours. Yeah, 72, maybe like 80 hours, maybe.
Yeah. So in our chats, I've put in what the predictive amounts were going to hit, and they hit spot on. So we were predicting that it was going to break out above 30, 41, I think it was. And I can't remember the numbers. And 31, another 31, and then above 32, and then 33, and then 34. So like they hit all their targets. And we posted it in our chat in AI Signal. So we have a Telegram chat. We have about 1,700 people in there. And so we post plays in there too, and calls, but also post about Ethereum and BTC too. And so we posted it in there that we're anticipating ETH running, and it hit targets on that. So you can buy just like $100 of Ethereum, or $100 of BTC, or Sol, whatever you want to play with. Sol's a little bit more volatile. Like Ethereum and BTC is a little bit more stable. And then that's like your first step. So now you have that, you can watch it fluctuate and then see what it does. And then there's all these other little tiny coins, which are called altcoins, like Polkadot and ENS and oh my goodness.
Polygon.
Sandbox. Matic. So there's all these little coins that you can play around with too. They're more volatile, so they fluctuate in ranges of like 20 to 60% up and down. So they're more volatile. And if you buy like $10 of those, you can watch what those do. So like when I got into trading tokens and coins, that's how I started. I started with like some ETH, and I started with some BTC. And then I went into the altcoins and just bought like $10 of each so I could watch how they fluctuated. And then I could see like Poly would go at like 10 to 11 to 12 and then back down to 8. And it's not the token, like the, what the token price is, but my $10 would do that. So I could see how much it fluctuated. And then I would see which ones were better and stronger and then which ones would go down. And then I also did the little free quizzes, like the free quizzes through Coinbase and got the free dollar, $2. And then like, I held it for a while, but then I ended up converting it back to ETH. So I got free money.
ETH is the easiest to convert to. I don't know. I feel like seeing ETH is a lot easier than like watching like 0.001 Bitcoin, right? Like, I like seeing the larger numbers. So if you're buying ETH, it's more stable than Solana or any of these other altcoins. So and it comes through as a bigger number, so you can easily track it in the value, and it looks better too. I know a lot of people look in their wallet and like, oh, it doesn't look good.
Yeah, so you can buy $100 worth of ETH, Ethereum, and then just watch it. And I can move it 102, 103, 104. Like your $100, you can watch it move. And like most stocks, bonds get 8 to 12% annually over the average of a 5-year period. And then most savings accounts only are getting 2% return. And then if you're in your checking, you're getting no return. So again, when you're investing and you're first starting out in something new, don't invest all of your primary money. Invest your discretionary money just to play around with it to see what it does, like your coffee money again, until you get good at it. But think about it, like Ethereum moved up 500 in the last 80 hours and it was at 2980. So it almost went up 20%. And that's in like 3 days. So
that's a lot.
But it's also gone down like last week. So so it's fluctuating. Like if you catch it on its low and then you bring it on the run up, it's great. But when you're seeing it go reverse, you know, your money's fluctuating.
Yeah, it's not as pretty when you're losing. But I'd say majority of the time, if you've done your analysis correctly and if you're putting in your coffee money, you're making money on it.
Right.
Because you can also learn how to short and long from that as well.
Right. So that's more advanced stuff again.
It is. It's the future. It's in the future.
To us, it's like second nature. And it's like, oh, yeah, we'll do it. But so then once you're in Coinbase and you've gotten your ETH and you've sat on it for a little bit, you've watched the fluctuations. Now you can convert your ETH to USD or you can convert USD into ETH. And then you can cash out and send it to your bank. Or once you convert it, though, consult with your CPA or financial advisor, but I believe once you convert it, then it becomes a form of income or tax or whatever they're clarifying it at that moment. Each country is different and the tax laws are always changing. So as long as it's staying in crypto and you're keeping it in crypto and you're converting from crypto to crypto, you're safe. But once you convert it back into main currency, consult with your CPA or your financial advisor on what your limits are and what your taxable income is based off of that. But then once you're there, you can go into MetaMask, and MetaMask is another form of wallet, and you can send Ethereum to MetaMask. And so on MetaMask is, again, you have to open up a wallet. So Coinbase is a lot easier to use because it's user-friendly and it's more bank-orientated, so it's easier to look at the information. MetaMask is more of like a wallet where you get your account. You have a private key, which you store and don't give to anybody else. If you lose your private key, you lose access to your wallet. But you put the app on your phone and on your laptop, and then you're able to access your crypto from there. And so you can transfer your Ethereum into that wallet from your crypto Coinbase into your MetaMask wallet. Or you can buy Ethereum with like MoonPay or another credit card form in MetaMask too. Instead of doing it through Coinbase, you can buy it through or transfer in ETH into that. But when you trade, you're going to have your MetaMask wallet and you're going to have it in Ethereum or in Base, depending on what wallet you're using. You're going to have your wallet ID, which is your wallet address. Your public address, and then you have your private address that you give to nobody whatsoever, because then they can access it. It's like giving away the keys to your bank or the keys to your car is your private keys. You don't want to give that to anybody, but that's how you access yours information. But your public one is the one that you transfer the money into. And then MetaMask also has help desk where you can go and go on the help desk. You can go on YouTube and search and then find more information. But when you trade coins, you can go into a thing called Uniswap, UNISWAP, go into the app, go into the MetaMask, into the URL, because they have like a web base in the MetaMask wallet. And you can click on Uniswap and go into the app. Make sure you're actually in Uniswap, not one of the fake ones. And then you can swap out your Ethereum for a token. Like you can buy a dollar of ASIG. So it's AISIG. That could be your first token that you buy through MetaMask. You can try it out.
Yeah, go for it.
Right. So you go into MetaMask and you say, I'm converting my ETH, so ETH, and it'll tell you how much ETH you have in that wallet. And you say you want to swap it to the token, and then you pick which token you want to buy. So you buy AISIG. So it's AISIG signal. And then you can say, I want to buy $10 worth. And then you swap your $10 worth of ETH, and then it'll get converted and you'll buy $10 worth of AI signal, and then it'll go into your wallet. And now you officially have your Ethereum and you also have the new token. And when you have the new token, you go into the main part of your wallet and you say import tokens in advance. And then you take the contract address of the token that you just bought. You plug that in and it'll automatically populate and your token will pop up. And now you can see that you have that token in your wallet. So like that's the simplest form. You can buy it also on DexTools. So you can connect your wallet on MetaMask to DexTools and you can swap through DexTools or you can swap through Uniswap. Those are the best ways to swap on meme coins. If you're buying altcoins and you're buying Solana or Poly or Matic or Sandbox or any of the other or Ape, those are in like Coinbase and you can just swap those out, no problem. But if you're buying the meme coins, you want to be in a MetaMask wallet or in another form of a wallet, whatever the country is. But MetaMask seems to be the easiest one to swap in. And then, when you get advanced, then you can start using snipers to buy tokens. But this is like the beginning phase of how to get into crypto, how to set up like the very beginning to play around with it. Just so, because this seems to be the biggest obstacle, right? Getting started.
It's always the biggest obstacle. I think even I had, that was like my main barrier to entry when entering crypto was, how do I get started? What do I do? How do I do it? Like, what even is it? It's the starting steps.
But it's really easy. So once you go into Coinbase, they give you freebies. You get to upload your information. You start it. Start with $100 in Ethereum. Play around with it. See what it does. And then open up a MetaMask wallet and then transfer some Ethereum into your MetaMask and then just like buy $1 or $2 worth of a token just to try it out. And then once you get more experience and you've gone to that step, then we'll like teach additional steps to go from there. But I want to get you all started to get involved. We're bringing this over into the real world, over into Web 2 so that people can start trading. Right now, we're primarily in Web3 because we've been trading traders on how to use it, on how to use ASIC and how to trade and get meme coins and information and the strategy and the systems. But we want you to, everyone's asking how to start. So I wanted to give like the basic introduction on how to, you know, buy your small little amounts and then track it and see what it does and then move on to MetaMask and then swap a token. Those are the very basic things just to get started. And those are the easiest things to learn in the beginning. And then you move on to the next step. So people are beginners are just learning how to do it. This is one way to get started. So
yeah,
we're wrapping up. We'll have more adventures, more travel, more crypto, more AI information next week. Lots of AI stuff coming out next week. I know we've been talking a lot about crypto and travel. I'll probably be in another destination. I don't know where yet officially. It might be another island. We'll see.
Possibly.
We haven't decided yet.
But find out next.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. It's been an absolute pleasure, as always.
Yeah.
And I will catch you guys next week for another location with Elizabeth, and and some big AI news coming.
That's
next
right. More AI news, more crypto. Thank you.
You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.